to emphasize is verse number 2, where the Bible reads, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And then he says in verse number 4, all the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Now, what I'd like to preach about this morning is the name of God, God's name. And this is a subject that's dealt with a lot throughout the Bible. But before we preach about God's name, or before we want to study God's name in the Bible, we want to start right here and understand what it says here in verse 2. Look at the end of verse 2. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now let that sink down into your ears. God's word is supreme. God's word is what matters the most, right? Even now, God's name is holy, you know, and you think of the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But what is above God's name? And I didn't say it was above God's name. God said that he magnified his word even above his name. Now today, there are religions that magnify a name above God's word. You know, the one that comes right to mind is the Jehovah's Witnesses, right? It's all about the name, the name, the name, the name, the name. Everybody else is wrong because they're calling God by the wrong name, and yet they disregard the Bible's teaching that salvation is by grace through faith, plus nothing minus. They disregard, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. They disregard that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And they say salvation is by work, doing the works, doing the commandments. They teach that you can lose your salvation. They teach that hell is not a real place when the Bible describes a real burning hell, whether we like it or not, it's the truth. They disregard the fact that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. They disregard that God said, I am the Lord and there is none else. Beside me there is no Savior. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. There's one God, folks. And every other God, the Bible will use the term God with a little g, like gods. It's always a false god.
That's right.
Look it up. Every time you see that little g, gods, it's a false god, and it's demonic, is what they're worshiping, these gods. Because there is only one real God, the Lord. And there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's only one Savior. And that Savior is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Jehovah's Witness will disregard all of this because he says, well, his name is Jehovah. Now, I want to talk about God's name and many of his various names throughout the Bible. But first we need to understand, hey, God's word is where we're going to learn about his name. That's what he's telling us here. Look, his name is here, his word is here. God's word reigns supreme above all else. Everything that we know about God is in this book. This is our rule of authority in all matters of faith and practice. Not what I say, not what anyone else says. Not what some Baptist somewhere says, but what the Bible says is what we believe. Let's start with talking about the name of Jehovah. Look at Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter number 3, this is the second book of the Bible. Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3. And in Exodus 3:13, we see this statement. It says, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? That what shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Now look at Exodus chapter 6, verse 3. Exodus chapter 6, 3. So here, Moses is at the burning bush, and he's saying, wait a minute. When I go to the children of Israel and tell them, hey, the God of your fathers, and this is how they had always known him as, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers. They just kind of knew him as God. And he said, well, what is your name, though, so I can tell them a name? Because all these other false gods had these different names that they went by. They had a certain name. And so they said, well, what's your name? says, I am that I am. He's just basically saying, I am. I mean, there's only one God anyway. So he's basically just saying, I am. So he said, tell them, I am hath sent you. And then he says, you know, I'm the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham. When he said the Lord God, the Lord is in all capitals. And we're going to explain what that means in a moment. Look at Exodus 6:3. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty. But he watched this. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. So wait a minute. If God only has the only name that he has is Jehovah, as the Jehovah's Witnesses, that's his only name, and calling him by any other name is wrong, then why did he say, I was not known to Abraham by the name of Jehovah? I was unknown to Isaac by the name of Jehovah. I never made mention of the name of Jehovah to Jacob. I was known to them by the name of God Almighty. Now that right there tells you that God does not only have one name. Okay? He has another name, God Almighty. Okay? And that's how he was known all the way up until we get to Moses. That's where he started revealing himself by the name of Jehovah. Now the word Jehovah, the name Jehovah, basically comes from the term I am. It's not exactly the same as saying I am, but it's derived from I am. And what the name Jehovah means is the self-existent one. He is. I mean, he wasn't created. And this is described in Revelation 1 when he said, I am he which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. This is the term that's expressing God's eternal nature, Jehovah. Okay? But was he known to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by that name? No. And so God does not only have one name. That's a false name. Look at Psalm 68. The book of Psalms is right in the middle of your Bible. Look at Psalm 68. But see, the difference is that we are looking to God's Word to find out the truth about His name. Because He said He magnified His Word above His name. And so that's why we're understanding this and they are not. Look at Psalm 68, verse 4. It says in Psalm 68, 4, sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah. And rejoice before him. Now, who knew before I just read that, that God's name is Jah? Put up your hand if you knew that. You know, some people know that and a few people know that. That is not the same as Jehovah. This isn't somebody just who is getting lazy and just decided, like, let me just leave some letters out here. You know, I'm just going to write Jah. No, this is another of God's names. This is another way that God expressed himself. And God is saying, hey, praise him by his name of Jah. Look at Psalm 83, 18. And so we're going to get into some other names, but we're starting just with this name Jehovah. And that's the only time in the Bible that that name is used. Now, does anybody know a religion that calls God Jah all the time? Rastafari, right? And all the time. And you'll see even bumper stickers, you know, praise Jah. And they'll talk about, you know, Jah is with you and all this stuff. Now, again, there's another religion that disregards the Bible and just fixates on one of God's names, Jah, and just says it's all Jah, Jah, Jah. But they forgot about some of his other names, like Jesus, like God Almighty, like Jehovah. Now, what you say, what's wrong with the Rastafari religion? Well, number one, they don't believe that salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ. Number two, it's all about smoking pot. You say, what's wrong with smoking pot? Because the Bible says, be sober. Be sober. No one who's smoking pot is classified as sober. And you know, people will always say, oh, it's okay to drink, it's just not okay to get drunk. No, the Bible doesn't say don't get drunk, it says be sober. Okay. Sober would be the total absence of alcohol, like a completely clear mind. Drunkenness would be on one extreme, sobriety would be on the other extreme, and then in between you have all different levels of inebriation. You have all different levels of being a little tipsy or, you know, you're just a little buzzed or whatever. But God didn't say be here or here or here or here or here. He said be sober. Sobriety is what God demands. A clear mind. And he says it again and again and again. Read Titus chapter 2. He says four times in a row to be sober. Right at the beginning of Titus chapter 2. It's something that he emphasizes greatly throughout the Bible. And so Rastafari does not become right just because they have the right name of God, Jah. That doesn't mean that they're worshiping the true God. Just because they call him Jah, the God of Rasta, is not the real Jah. The real Jah is the God of Christianity. Right. The real Jehovah is the God of Christianity, not the God of the Jehovah's Witness. Whether he lays claim to that name or not, that is his name, and it doesn't matter if you call him by that name, that doesn't make him God if he's not the God of the Bible. Look, if you would, at Psalm 83:18. In Psalm 83:18, this is the kingpin verse of the Jehovah's Witnesses. It says, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. Now keep your finger there. Let's compare spiritual with spiritual and interpret this verse. Now flip over to Psalm 148. Keep your finger in Psalm 83:18, but then let's flip over to Psalm 148, verse 13. And let's do a little comparison here on the grammar in the Bible. It says in Psalm 83:18, you know, that thou whose name alone is Jehovah, and the Jehovah's Witnesses will say, see, his only name is Jehovah. But that's not what it says. Look at Psalm 148, verse 13. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. Now, is that saying that excellent is the only name that God has? If you call him anything other than excellent, you're not calling him by his right name. No. It's saying that only his name is excellent. And what it's saying in Psalm 83:18 is that he is the only one who is named Jehovah. His name alone is Jehovah. My name is not Jehovah. Your name is not Jehovah. To this day, I've never met anyone named Jehovah. To this day. Now, there's a whole lot of Jesuses, you know, around this part of Phoenix, okay? But there's only one person who's named Jehovah. And if somebody named their kid Jehovah, you know, it would be blasphemous. Because his name alone is Jehovah. You understand? But that doesn't mean that that's his only name, because that would contradict the whole rest of the Bible where it gives these other names and other name that he was known unto Abraham by, not by his name of Jehovah. So, again, they're taking a verse and they're misunderstanding it. When it says that his name alone is Jehovah, it's saying he's the only one named Jehovah. And that's proven here by comparing it with the grammar in Psalm 148:13. Look at Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter number 2. Daniel chapter number 2. And so you always have to be careful when somebody's taking one verse and trying to pit it against the rest of the Bible. Maybe they're just misunderstanding that one verse. When somebody's taking one name or one doctrine or one point and negating the whole rest of the Bible, that's what false teaching will do. It'll neglect the clear teaching again and again of the Bible and just take one verse and try to negate the rest of the Bible. Now, in the book of Daniel, it's interesting that the name Jehovah is not used except a couple of times in chapter 9 is the only time that God uses, or that, you know, God, as writing the Bible, and Daniel chose to use the term Jehovah. Only when they're quoting Moses. And in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, he's praying a prayer, and he's making reference to Moses, and he's making reference to the Pentateuch. He uses the term Jehovah throughout that chapter. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, in the King James Bible, look at Daniel chapter 9, if you would. Keep your finger in Daniel 2. But in the King James Bible, notice in Daniel 9:2, it says in Daniel 9:2, notice right in the middle of that verse, do you see that Lord is spelled with all capital letters? Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is to distinguish, okay, a proper name of Jehovah. Okay, so the Hebrew there says Jehovah. Okay, and it puts it in all caps to let us know that this is a proper name of Jehovah, so that we can tell the difference without having to go to another foreign language to figure out the difference. You say, well, why is Jehovah translated Lord? I'm going to get to that in a minute. But look at Daniel chapter 2. So we see that's the only time in the whole book of Daniel that the term Jehovah is used. It's in chapter 9 a few times, because there's reference made to the books of Moses, and so it makes sense for him to call him by that particular name. Okay. But look at Daniel 2:20. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And yet, throughout the book of Daniel, what is he calling God? Two different things. He calls him God, and he calls him the Lord. Not in all capitals, not Jehovah, but the Lord. Just meaning, as in, I would say, for example, there are lords, there are you know, lords and ladies, you know, if you go back to feudalism, that type of thing, where people are like a boss, I guess is what you'd say, a lord and a servant. But also God calls the Lord, with the lowercase O-R-D, His name, also in the Bible, okay? It's a proper name. Now, look if you would at Romans chapter 2. Actually, turn to Revelation 16. I'll read for you Romans chapter 2. I'm going to read for you a few verses from the New Testament while you're turning to Revelation 19. Listen to this. Romans 2:24. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you as it is written. 1 Timothy 6:1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. Listen to this. And men were scorched with great heat. This is Revelation 16:9. And blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give Him glory. Now all these references in the New Testament to the name of God, people blaspheming the name of God. In the book of Revelation, this is talking about in the future, okay, during the time when God's going to pour out His wrath on this earth and destroy the earth, people will be blaspheming God's name. They will be using God's name during that time, you know, as an expletive, basically. I mean, they're in a lot of pain. They're being tormented by these plagues. And as they're bit by these scorpion-like locusts and everything, what are they going to be saying when it bites down onto them? They're going to use God's name in blasphemy. They're going to take the name of God in vain, according to the Bible. Right? So we got that? Well, look at Revelation 19:13. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. There's another name right there. The Word. It's called that. He's called that throughout John 1. He's called that here. He's called that in 1 John 5. The Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. You remember that name? You say, oh, that's a title. That's just a description. No, it's a name. He said, I was known unto Abraham by the name of God Almighty. And so that is a name. He says, of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's another name. King of Kings, Lord of Lords. That is not a title. That's a name. Look at Isaiah chapter 9. And I know we're turning to a lot of verses, but it's kind of a Bible study this morning, a little bit more than usual on a Sunday morning. But there's so much in the Bible on this, and it's something that we need to understand. And we'll make application on this in a little while. But look at Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now who is this talking about? Jesus Christ, right? The Son of God. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Right? Don't tell me Jesus isn't God. I mean, this is one of the many verses that prove that. Hundreds of verses throughout the Bible. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, I've showed this verse to hundreds of Jehovah's Witnesses, and they say, those are all titles. It's a title. Now, wait a minute. And I always say to them the same thing. I say, the word title never occurs in the Bible, except when it's talking about a signpost. Like it talks about a title being put over Jesus' head. They read a title. It's an old word to mean a sign, like that you put on the wall. But never is the word title used in the way that they're using it. And so I always say to them the same thing. The Bible did not teach you that those are titles, because the Bible never used the word titles. Your religion taught you that that's a title.
Yep.
Because you can't even find the word title in the Bible. So how can you say, oh, the Bible tells me that God Almighty and Counselor and Prince of Peace are just titles? No, the Watchtower Society taught you that. No, the Jehovah's Witnesses taught you that. You didn't get that from the Bible. You didn't get that from God, because it's not even used. These are not titles. It says, His name shall be called God Almighty. His name shall be called Counselor. Now let me ask you this. Where in Isaiah 9:6 do you see the word Jehovah? Do you see the Lord in all caps? It isn't there. Right? Because that's not God's only name. He went centuries without even revealing Himself by that name. He started to use that name at the burning bush. And so we got to let the Bible be our authority, not a religion. not some teaching. This book is the authority. Amen. This book is magnified above it, God's name. Any of God's names. Now look, if you would, at Philippians chapter 2. Now, I want to explain to you briefly, and you know, I'm not usually like this, but you know, I've got this board and everything. You know, I'm not really that kind of a preacher usually, but I'm going to put this up here and I'm going to show you something. A little bit of a visual aid just to help you understand something that I wondered about as I was growing up. Because, you know, I would talk to the Jehovah's Witnesses would come to my door. Or I would talk to Jehovah's Witnesses that I was trying to win to Christ. And they would start coming up with this, you know, Jehovah. And you'll try to talk to them about, like, salvation, about being saved. And they just want to change the subject. You go, oh, but what about God's name? What about this name of Jehovah? And they talked about it, and they asked me a question. I remember as a teenager, I knew they were wrong. I knew they were preaching false doctrine. But I didn't understand the answer to this one question. They said, why is it that the name of Jehovah has been translated as the Lord literally over 1,000 times in the Old Testament? They said, why are they taking out Jehovah and changing it to the Lord? And I couldn't really handle it. I didn't really understand. I was like, I don't know. Why doesn't it just say Jehovah each time all throughout the Old Testament? I was confused. But you see, you have to understand something. Translating the Bible into another language is nothing new. Because you have to understand that God translated the Bible. Now, did God translate it in 1611? No. Man translated it in 1611. Okay, there were men that translated the Bible, and obviously they translated it from 1604 to 1610, but men translated the Bible. Before that, Tyndale is the one who really translated the Bible into English, and you know, the King James Bible is just basically a fine-tuning of Tyndale's Bible. But what you have to understand is that's not the first time that the Bible was translated from one language to another. You say, wait a minute, God never translated the Bible. Yes, He did. Because God walked on this earth, and His name was Jesus Christ, and Jesus translated the Bible. Let's see how Jesus translated the Bible. Look, if you would, for example, and I'm just going to give you this one example, but look at Matthew chapter 4. And there are so many examples of this all throughout the Bible. And you say, well, what do you mean Jesus translated the Bible? Jesus quoted the Old Testament in a different language. Because the Old Testament was written in one language, Hebrew primarily. And what language was the New Testament written in? Greek. There's a translation there because the New Testament quotes the Old Testament again and again and again. That's a translation where God took a verse from the Old Testament and brought it into the New Testament. And see, this is what's interesting. Look at Matthew chapter 4. You say, well, you always lose something in the translation. Well, let's see if that's what God thinks. Matthew 4:4. But He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So is it just the thoughts that are important? No. Every word of the Bible is important. We ought not to just roughly paraphrase or just give the general gist of the Bible. We ought to quote it word for word. Because He said, every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found liar. You say, well, we don't have God's word today anymore. Heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said, but My words shall not pass away. He said, it's easier for heaven and earth pass than for one jot or one tittle of the law to pass till all be fulfilled. And so God has preserved His word for us today, according to the Bible. He'll preserve it forever. And He has caused it to go from one language to another, and He still says it's God's word. He said to Timothy, who grew up in a Greek culture, He said that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so we see that God's word can be translated. Well, here's what's interesting. Don't you think if the noun of the Old Testament that's used more than any other noun, and that noun is the Lord in all capitals, Hebrew Jehovah or Yahweh, if you want to pronounce it the way that someone thinks that it might have been pronounced, since Hebrew became a dead language and fell off the face of the earth and wasn't spoken for centuries, nobody had a tape recorder, my friend, to tell you exactly how it was pronounced, but it's probably pronounced Yahweh, is what most people think. You know, in English, it's Jehovah, whatever, whatever. Nobody knows exactly how it was pronounced, because there was no VHS, no camcorder. All you can do is look at how things are transliterated from one language to another to get in the ballpark. Because it's a dead language that was revived later. Today, people speak Hebrew, but there was a time on this earth where Hebrew fell out of being someone's mother tongue that they were born speaking. And so, this word that's used so many times in the Old Testament, the Lord in all capitals, okay, not the only name of God, other names are used, God Almighty, and different terms, but this term is quoted, don't you think it's quoted many, many times in the New Testament? Oh, you better know it is. There are all kinds of quotations from the Old Testament that contain this, and I'm going to show you this right here, that contain this term right here, okay? The Lord, which in the Hebrew is Jehovah, right? All throughout the Old Testament, you're going to see this again and again. Well, do you know how that's translated in the New Testament? Do you know how Paul and Peter and Matthew and Mark and Luke and John all translated that word into Greek the exact same way in every book in the New Testament? And you will never find the word Jehovah in any New Testament manuscript anywhere in the world. It says, what did they translate it into Greek? They translated it to this word right here. The Lord. So it wasn't the King James Bible that made that up. It was the Holy Spirit who led Peter, James, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, every single time they quote, like when it quotes where it says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. It's the same word every time. And you don't need to go back to the Greek to see this because it's the lowercase. The King James Bible does it for you, but it's this word right here. And you know what that word means? Lord. Now look at, are you in Philippians 2? I think I told you to turn there until you turn somewhere else, sorry. Look at Philippians chapter 2. And look at this, because this will help answer this question for you. Because I wondered about this until I read and read the Bible and said this and saw this. Because here's what's interesting. The Jehovah's Witnesses Bible, the New World Translation, here's what they do. They take this word right here, Kyrios, Lord. And you know what they do? They translate it as Jehovah in the New Testament. When it means Lord. They translate it as Jehovah. Except in one place they decided not to translate it as Jehovah. They decided to translate it as Lord. And in a few other places when it was convenient for them. Here's a convenient place where they decided. Because every other time they just change this to Jehovah whenever they want. Even though the Holy Spirit led them to write Lord. Okay? In Greek. I mean Greek, English, it's the same word. Lord. Means the same thing. It's used the same way. Look at Philippians chapter 2. It says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, while they were translating this word over and over, Jehovah, 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 what if they would have translated it that way here? It would have said that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Jehovah. Oh no, that wouldn't go very well with their false doctrine, would it? That wouldn't go very well with their heresy. And so the New World Translation is not even a real Bible. It's a phony, twisted perversion of the Bible just to fit their agenda, to promote their lie, to try to say that God's only name is Jehovah and that Jehovah is incorrectly translated in every Bible in the world. The English, why does the English Bible, I've read the English Bible cover to cover many, many times. I've read the German Bible cover to cover twice. I've read the Norwegian New Testament almost completely. I've read the Spanish New Testament four times. I've read all these different, you know, Bibles and other languages that I speak. And you know what? Every single one of them in the New Testament says, Lord, 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 Lord. Because that's what every Bible in the world has always said in the New Testament. Lord. Because that's what Jehovah means. The Lord. That's the name that God chose to use in the New Testament. When he quoted that Old Testament, He always quoted himself as saying, the Lord. And yet they'll criticize the King James Version. They'll criticize the English Bibles that, you know, we've all been wrong for the last 400 years. It was just all of a sudden they came out with their New World Translation and saved us all. But wait a minute. They're the ones who ought to be criticizing God who translated as Lord. When he was walking on this earth, when Jesus Christ walked on this earth, he said, the Lord, when he was quoting Old Testament passages containing this term right here. Okay, there you have it, folks. I mean, it's not that hard to understand why we should look at them and say, wait a minute, if all their other doctrine is false, and that's what I did as a child, I didn't really understand all this. I said, wait a minute, if all their other doctrine is false, I'm going to figure out what they're talking about. And I studied it, and that's what I came up with, and it's clear, it's obvious, and everyone in the world agrees. Every Bible translation in the entire world agrees, except the precious Jehovah's Witnesses who believe that there's more than one God, work your way to heaven, hell is not real, etc. And so I just wanted to clear that up for you because that was something that I wondered about when they hit me with that when I was a teenager. But notice this passage we're in, Philippians chapter 2. Let's move to another phase in the sermon. Philippians chapter 2. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now, there are all different names that are highly exalted in the Bible. Jehovah, God Almighty, King of Kings. But what is the name that is above every name? According not to a religion, not to the Baptist, not to the Christian, not to the Jehovah's false witness, according to the Bible, what is the most highly exalted name that there is? Is it Jehovah? No. Is it Jah? No. Is it the Lord? No. It's this name right here. Jesus. That's what it says. The Bible says, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, let me teach you about the name Jesus, okay? Because we're going to start out by understanding the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. What language is the Old Testament written in? Hebrew. What language was the New Testament written in? Greek. Look at this. Luke chapter 4. Turn to Luke chapter 4, please. Luke chapter 4. Now I'm going to show you something that you probably noticed and maybe you didn't quite understand why this is the way it is, but you probably noticed the difference between Old Testament names and New Testament names. Have you noticed a little difference in spelling as you read the Bible? Here's a really blatant example of a difference in spelling. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 25. It says, but I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of what? Elias. When the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months. Who is that, though, in the Old Testament? How would that be spelled? Elijah. It says, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, which is spelled how in the Old Testament? Zarephath. Okay, a little difference there. A city of Sidon, which is spelled how in the Old Testament? Zidon with a Z. Okay. Unto a woman that was a widow, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of who? Eliseus. Who is Eliseus? Elisha. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. They were angry. Okay. Now, let's look at these words. I'm just going to take these names as an example. Hundreds and hundreds of names. If you want a really long list of names, go to Luke chapter 3, where it gives the genealogy all the way from Adam to Mary. All the names are spelled different from the Old Testament. Okay. But let's look at these two names right here. Okay. Elijah. Okay. Elisha. Now here's what you have to understand about foreign languages. Because I speak about 5 languages, okay? And so I understand some of these differences. And some people may not realize that these letters right here are pretty much just variations of the same letter throughout language. I mean, all throughout language, you'll find these interchanged. For example, does anybody in here speak Spanish? Speak a little bit of Spanish, okay? What is this letter called in Spanish right here? E griega, which means what? Greek I. Okay? That's a Greek letter. Epsilon, or it's what it's called in German, Ypsilon, because it's a Greek letter. Okay? There's Epsilon is the E, and then Ypsilon is this letter right here. Okay? Do you notice a real striking similarity between these two letters? Like, how about this? Wow, pretty close, right? Okay. These are interchanged. Let me show you a few other letters that interchange throughout language. Okay? Right? These are letters that are used. If you get an original 1611 replica of the original King James Bible, the U's and the V's are all reversed. Have you ever wondered why this is called W when it looks more like two V's? Because these letters are basically interchanged. From language to language, they make different sounds in the Latin alphabet. Okay, here are a few other letters that interchange. H and nothing, okay? A lot of languages, H is silent, okay? Here are some others that are often interchanged. CH and K, the hard K sound of a CH. Not the ch, like church, but when this is used like the Chaldeans. Okay, you'll see these kind of letters interchanging and swapping, okay? Now, many languages do not have this sound right here. The SH sound. Do you remember in the book of Judges when the Ephraimites were trying to cross the river and they wanted to make sure that none of the Ephraimites got across the river? They said, say the word Shibboleth. And the Ephraimites would say Sibboleth because they could not pronounce the SH sound and they killed them. Okay? So they could tell who were the bad guys trying to sneak in because they could not pronounce this sound. That's in Judges chapter... Somebody help me out. I don't know. It's in the book of Judges. But it's I believe it's chapter 11. I'm almost positive. Judges chapter 11. You read it. It's really interesting. Shibboleth versus Sibboleth. Okay. These are similarities. Now, how does this become in the New Testament right here? Elijah becomes what? Elias. Okay? Why? Because this letter right here is basically just omitted. Because in many languages, it's like that. There is no J sound, okay? And it ends in an S because names in Greek almost always end in an S, right? So we basically, Eliah would not sound like a Greek name, so it's changed into Greek, Elias. Okay, do you see how simple that is to see? Okay, Elisha. Okay, this one did not have an S in it. This was what, a J, right? In the Old Testament, Elijah becomes what? Elias, okay? Well, this one right here has an S in it. But there's not an SH sound in Greek, okay? So basically, it picks up another Greek ending. The US ending. Elysius, okay? For example, in Spanish, my name is not Stephen. It is, who knows? Esteban, okay? How does it become Esteban? Because here's another couple of letters that make virtually the same sound. You just put your mouth in a slightly different position. So instead of Stephen, it becomes... And then, you know, they always... There are not words that start with an S combination in the front. You know, if you hear people say, like, Espica Spanish, you know, because they always put an E in front of all S, P, S, T sounds in Spanish. So that becomes Esteban, okay? So it's very simple to see other words. In Hungarian, my name is István instead of Stephen. Okay? So you see how names go from language to language, right? Well now, let's look at another example. Look at Acts chapter 7. And this example will surprise you. Because you've already seen that before. You know, you already noticed the Elias and Lysias. That's used a lot throughout the Bible. Another one that you'll see a lot, based on what I just showed you, is like this guy in the Old Testament, remember him? Hosea, right? How is this written in the New Testament? Oze, O-S-E-E, okay? You can see it's virtually the same thing. Wow. See what I'm saying? It's not a big difference. So it's easy to identify who these people are in the New Testament. Jeremiah becomes what in the New Testament? Jeremiah becomes, every time it's quoted in the New Testament, Jeremy. Right? And you can go through all Rebecca in the Old Testament, R-E-B-E-K-A-H. A lot of names in Hebrew end in H, but not in Greek. There is no H in Greek. There is no letter H. And so it's R-E-B-E-C-C-A in the New Testament. Okay? This one's going to surprise you, though. Look at Acts chapter 7, verse 44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. which also our fathers that came after brought in with who? Brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers under the days of David. That is not talking about Jesus right there. That is Joshua. That is talking about Joshua because he's going through the story of the Old Testament. And he tells us about Moses coming out of the promised land. And then who leads them into the... coming out of the land of bondage. Moses led them out. And then who led them in? Joshua. But how is Joshua's name spelled in the New Testament? Jesus. That's what it says in Acts chapter 7. Look at it again. Which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus in the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David. You say, why is that? Well, let's talk about the name Joshua. Okay? In the Old Testament, we have Joshua. Now, there is more than one Joshua in the Old Testament. There's the Joshua that's described here, who led the children of Israel into the promised land. Then there's the other Joshua, the high priest, in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah and Zechariah, the high priest Joshua, the son of Jozadak. Well, both of these men, their name is spelled a different way in parts of the Old Testament. Why? Because the Bible was written over the course of a few thousand years, about 1600 years. And so just as other languages have changed, just as the English language has changed over the last few hundred years, in the course of the Bible being written, even the Hebrew language changed in that time. That's why you'll see Nebuchadnezzar sometimes and Nebuchadrezzar other times. It's a difference in the language. You'll see this name change sometimes to this. Jeshua. And sometimes you'll even see it spelled Jehoshua. And sometimes you'll see the name Joash spelled Jehoash, and it's the same person. It just depends on when the book was written. It's not really rocket science to tell that it's the same person. Well, look. Let's say you take this name right here, Joshua, Jeshua, as it's called throughout the Old Testament. Okay? Now, this letter right here is pronounced... It doesn't exist in a lot of languages like it exists in English. In German, for example, the J sound... You know, you think of this word right here, ja, right? In German, Norwegian, Swedish, it means yes, okay? The J is pronounced like a Y. How is the J pronounced in Spanish? Like an H, just a puff of air, okay? So this right here, this name right here, okay? Jeshua, or in Hebrew, perhaps it was pronounced Yeshua, right? But look at this. If we were to put this Yeshua, because in English, you don't need an H there necessarily to make the same sound. Like, for example, we have the word sure, right? And then we could follow the same pattern as every other Greek name and change it to an S, just like Elias, Elysius, and what name do we come out with? Jesus. Okay? So these two names are the same name. Now there's a lot of symbol. It's great that God does. You say, why would God do this? It's confusing. Why don't we just put Joshua? Why don't we just put Elijah? Because it's interesting because Joshua is symbolic in the Old Testament of Jesus. Remember this verse? For the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It's symbolic of Moses is represented here, representing the Old Testament. He's kind of a representer of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. Joshua is representative of the New Covenant. Okay, and there's a lot of symbolism there when you study the book of Joshua. You can see that. And so the thing is here, there are people today who will insist that if you're not calling him Yeshua, you're not really worshiping Jesus Christ. You must call him Yeshua. Who's ever heard of people who said, Yeshua this, Yeshua that? Oh, Yeshua. And you know who it usually is? It's these people right here. Right? They're the ones who say it all. Yeshua, Yeshua, Yeshua. And this is what they're called. Messianic Jews. Now let me tell you something. I have a problem with Messianic Jews. And here's why. Because Jesus Christ and God in the Old Testament said that my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. And he said that in Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither bond nor free. But you're one in Christ. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We ought not have a separate church for Jew believers and a separate church for Gentile believers. We ought not have a separate church for white believers and a separate church for black believers. We ought not have a separate church for this race and a separate... No, God's house is the house of prayer for all people, Amen. For all nations. You say, oh, how do you solve the racial problems? Through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Because when we believe on Jesus Christ, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. No matter what the ethnicity, no matter what the nationality. And so this is not something that I'm for. I'm not for this Jewish Christianity. Don't call me Judeo-Christian. I'm a Christian.
Amen.
I'm not a Judeo-Christian. Now you say, well, but you know, God's chosen people. Look, God chose the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. He chose Abraham. And what did He choose them for? He said, I have chosen thee to be a light for the Gentiles. That's what He chose them for. He chose them to basically, He committed unto them the oracles of God. He delivered His word through the Jews. It was delivered to them in their language, Hebrew. They were supposed to be the light to the Gentiles. But the problem is that the Jews rejected Jesus Christ. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And Jesus said this to the Jews. Remember this carefully. He said, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Paul shook off the dust of his feet of the Jews and said, from henceforth we go to the Gentiles, since you've seen yourself unworthy of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God departed from them. The kingdom of God was taken from them because they rejected it. And now the only Jew that is God's chosen people is the Jew who decides to believe on Jesus Christ. And if he doesn't believe on Jesus Christ, he's not going to heaven and he's not God's people. The wrath of God abideth on him just like every other unbeliever. God doesn't just give a free pass. Yes, I was born a Jew. Free pass into heaven. Wrong. If you believe on Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. If you don't believe, you'll be damned with the rest. That's what the Bible teaches. And so this, oh Yeshua, you poor, ignorant, white, American, Anglo, speaking about Jesus, Jesus is not His name. His real name is Yeshua. Now, let me ask you something. Did they learn that from the Bible? Did the Bible teach them that? Did the Old Testament teach them that? Did the New Testament teach them? No, the New Testament taught them that when the Holy Ghost of God inspired the writers of the New Testament, when holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, they didn't say Elijah. They didn't say Jehovah. They didn't say Zarephath. They said Elias, Eliseus, Sarepta, Jesus. So this is where it comes to the point here. What's going to be your authority? A name or God's Word? God's Word, the Holy Bible. You say, well, you go to this language. It doesn't matter what language you're in. You don't even need any of these foreign languages. You can just read your King James Bible and you're going to find out that God's name is Jehovah, Jesus, Jah, God Almighty. You're going to find all these names. You don't even need to go to another language. But people are trying to take you to another language to try to change what you believe, to try to change what the Bible says, when every New Testament in the entire world, besides the New World Translation, which just came out, what, 60 years ago, will tell you that God's name, not His title, His name is the Lord, is His name. And if we're speaking English, if we're speaking Greek, if we're speaking a European language, we call Him what? The Lord. We worship the Lord. We believe on the Lord. And when we're talking about the name that's above every other name, is it Jehovah? No. This is the name that's above every name. Now turn to Acts chapter 4, if you would. That's the name right there that's above every other name in this world. They'll say, oh, Jesus is a false name. Jesus is a corrupt name. Oh, wow, because the A became an S when we went from language to language. Now all of a sudden it's corrupt. Now all of a sudden it's evil. Wrong. It's God's name. Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, Even by him did this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So if you're not saved by Jesus Christ, you're not saved. You say, well, I believe in the God of the Old Testament, but not the God of the New Testament. You're not saved. Well, I believe on Jehovah, but not on Jesus. You're not saved. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son, hath the Father also. You cannot accept the Old Testament God without accepting the New Testament God. It's the same God. There is only one God. There is only one Lord. And you can call him Jesus, but if you're talking about a guy who's not the biblical Jesus, it's not Jesus. I mean, look, I'm sure I have a neighbor named Jesus somewhere in my neighborhood. But does that mean that if I believe on him, he's going to get me to heaven? Should I go to him and get on my knees and say, will you please save me, Jesus Rodriguez? We can't save you. Okay? It's got to be the God of the Bible. It's got to be the Jesus of the Bible. Okay? Now, is his name Jesus in every language? No. In German, it's Jesus. In Spanish, it's Jesus. And in other languages, it's something different. But the point is that this name, you know, in Greek, it's spelled like this. Okay? I accidentally kind of connected those. I-E-S-O-U-S. I-E-S-O-U-S. Right? So, we just throw a little thing on here, and voila, Jesus. Okay, that's how we say it in English. But you know what the point of the matter is who are we talking about? We're talking about the Jesus Christ of the Bible. Now, why is this important? I'll wrap it up with this. Why is this so important? Well, here's why it's important. Because number one, it's important to understand that people who are out somewhere worshiping another God, they better call on the name of the Lord. You know, people will say, oh, they're out in the jungle and they just kind of believe in a higher power. Or how about this? This is a term you'll hear a lot today. A supreme being. Right? Intelligent design. Did it say believe on intelligent design and thou shalt be saved? Believe on the supreme being and thou shalt be saved? Believe on a God and thou shalt be saved? Believe on Allah and thou shalt be saved? Nope. He said believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You can't separate the two. The Lord Jesus Christ. It's one person. The God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament, all comes together in one person. The Lord Jesus Christ. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Jesus had a name written on his vesture when he comes in the second coming. His name is called the Word of God. And so, there's a lot of false teaching out there. But let the Bible be your guide. Not a magazine, not the Watchtower, not some preacher, not some prophet, not some charlatan. Let this be your guide. And if you read this book, I just proved everything that I just taught from the Bible. Everything I taught was found in the pages of this book right here. I didn't have to go to some library somewhere. I didn't have to excavate something somewhere. The answers are in the Bible. We just need to find them. And let me tell you something. People who are Jewish need to be saved by believing on Jesus Christ or they're not saved. Now, if they want to call him Yeshua, if they want to translate his name into another language, hey, if you're speaking Hebrew, it's Yeshua. If you're speaking English, it's Jesus. I'm not saying anyone who believes that his name is Yeshua is not saved because that's what it is in their language. But to say that the name Jesus is wrong, you're blaspheming the name that's above every other name. Now, if you're Hebrew and you want to believe on Yeshua, great, as long as you're believing on Jesus Christ. As long as you're believing on the guy who was crucified, whose name is Yeshua, it is Jesus, it is Jesus, it is Jesus. We don't go to people at the door and say, well, you must believe. Okay, you know, usted necesita creer en Jesus to be saved. No, we say, usted necesita creer en Jesucristo. We speak their language. Because names can be translated from one language to another. According to Steven Anderson, no. According to the Bible, they're transliterated. Even within the Old Testament. Even before you even get to the New Testament. Just from the changes Throughout the history of the nation of Israel, you'll see names change. Joshua become Jeshua. You'll see Nebuchadnezzar become Nebuchadrezzar. And so, the name of Jesus Christ, my friend, that's the God I worship. Do I worship Jehovah? Yes. I'm a Jehovah's Witness. I'm not a Jehovah's False Witness like the ones that you think of. I'm the real Jehovah's Witness right now. I'm the real Rastafarian. No, I'm just kidding. You know, hey, I'm telling you though. I worship Jah. I worship Jehovah. I worship God Almighty. I worship the God of Abraham. The modern day rabbinical Jew who goes to the synagogue, he's worshiping Satan according to the Bible. He's part of the synagogue of Satan. Okay? And so I don't need him to tell me how to pronounce the name that I read in the Bible, the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we love you and thank you for saving us, dear God. And we thank you for dying on the cross for us. We thank you for a Bible that has all the answers. I thank God that if I just had one book in my library, the Holy Bible, it's really all I need to preach from and teach from and understand everything that I need to preach for the next rest of my life, dear God. I thank you so much for giving me the answers in this book. Please, dear Father, just lead us into all truth, dear God. Guide us and direct us as we study your word, as we preach the gospel to every creature. Help us not to be deceived by the world's lie that, oh, you lose something in the translation. God, I believe that you're powerful enough to give your word in Spanish, to give your word in Italian, to give your word in Hungarian, to give your word in Chinese. And I thank you that you've given us your word in English. And so, Father, please just help us to read it, study it, meditate upon it, and help it to be the authority. And for us to always remember that you've magnified your word above your name. And we love you and thank you so much for saving us. Help us as we give the gospel to others this afternoon. And in Jesus' name we pray.